And you can't sort of guess how it's all going to go with children. You don't even know really where they're at with the Lord. Not really until their teen years, when they're really tested. And which way are they facing? It doesn't mean that God doesn't save when they're young. It's just, where are they? You don't know until they get in the teen years. And then which way are they facing? Towards themselves in the world or towards Christ? And oftentimes that's when people are saved, when God saves them, is in the teen years, latter teen years, and early 20s. And people's testimonies just always go a little bizarre when, oh, I trusted in Christ when I was 5, lived like the devil, you know, for 7 years, and then I came back to the Lord when I was 20. No, you didn't. You know, you don't take a sabbatical in your sanctification for that long a time. You know, that was true conversion is when you turn from living for self and you turn to live for Christ. And you just don't see a lot of those other kind of testimonies. And anyway, this has been, as I said, about 8 years of just kind of working through. There are great times in parenting. There are very challenging times in parenting. Parenting is not complicated. You don't need a PhD in how to parent. But it is very challenging. There's a difference from complicated to challenging. Complicated is I just don't even understand what to do. Oh, God tells us what to do. Principles and commands. But it's just challenging from one child to another one. What works for this one doesn't work for this one. And then you have, you know, a lot of children, and it's just how do you... It's wisdom. Wisdom kind of parenting. Anyway, you have it on the notes. I mean, so you've got, I was just going to give out the points, but then I thought I'd give a little bit more than just the points. So you have a longer note section. This is what I did over the 8 years. What God was teaching me in different situations, I would meditate on it, the principles, and then took notes. And so a year ago, I was contacted about working together on a book on parenting. I put that thing off. I was for about 7 years. Just going through wisdom, through issues with children, helping others. I said, no way, no way. My theology was tested. Do I really believe that God is sovereign? Or do I believe somehow I'm supposed to be able to save kids and sanctify them? And it's been a work, and I took all these points and put them into one chapter. That's what this is. It's not really the chapter. There's a whole lot more in each of these points. But just sort of the fruit of them, sort of wisdom principles, 30 days of purposeful principles, if you like the 30-day, 40-day stuff. This is just a month of devotionals. Just take one on and just review it. Take it to heart. And I'm doing it because 2 Corinthians 1 says, the comfort that you have received, what are we supposed to do with that? Comfort that you get from God through His Word, comfort others. So you go, well, we don't have kids, or our kids are all walking with the Lord, or, you know, there are people that you can, you know, encourage and help. So I'll just go through this since you already have it, pretty much print it. Keep trusting God in the dark times. Oh, those dark times. We tend to look through the dark time and look at God. We try to look at God through the dark time, and He always comes out distorted. This is Jeremiah in Lamentations 3. You try to look through your circumstances, through your difficult child or difficult experience, and you try to look through it at God, He'll look distorted. Jeremiah says, oh, you're a bear lying in wait to pounce on me. You know, I'm the target. You're shooting arrows at me. I'm going, Jeremiah, get a grip. But that's what God looks like when you're trying to interpret Him through the difficult, dark time. Rather than go to the Word, focus on who God says He is, believe that, and then face the dark time. You've got to reverse that And that's what Jeremiah does in Lamentations 3. He says, oh, then I remember, I think who you are, and I remember, great is thy faithfulness, your mercies are new every morning. You're going, oh, that was a switch. Yeah, we have to do the same. One of the most difficult things is to trust God with is our children. You're flesh and blood. You love them. You pour, an enormous amount of time and effort, especially the wife, especially the mother, who, and some of you, you know, might be in a situation where you homeschool. That's even more time put in there. Trust means that we're willing to have the attitude that Job did when he accepted calamity as well as good from the hand of the Lord. And you have Job 1 there. Habakkuk, same place. Doesn't understand what is going on with God sending a wicked nation to punish Israel in its sin. And he says, I need to trust. No matter what happens, I will trust. He says, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. He is my strength. Habakkuk 3, which was a song. So trust God in those dark times, but don't try to figure him out through your circumstance. Look at him in the pages of Scripture, then look at your circumstances. That's Lamentations 3 turnaround. Day 2, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Oh boy, the distance that sometimes you might think is there. You draw near to him, he will draw near to you. You can be perplexed and hurt. Pour out your hearts to him. Make your requests known. Think of life, as it says there in your notes, as a classroom with God as your teacher, and he doesn't ever get a substitute. He's just there all of the time to help you, to instruct you from his word. He is our present refuge and strength always. He doesn't... You know where you'll find yourself going? Substitute refuges, right? Like TV. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about him or her and their situation. I mean, we want to check out. And we'll find false refuges. And we'll look for other things for our strength. I just need to upload those vitamins, you know? I need to eat better. I need to, you know, for our strength. Well, it's not wrong to take vitamins and wrong to exercise, but is he our refuge and is he our strength? In these draw near to him. Don't run from him. Draw near to him. Our real hope and joy must be in God alone. A parent who truly hopes in God alone will not live in despair over their children. But you hope anywhere else, and you will. And what you may not realize is that you put hope in your children, and when they're not doing well, you start caving in. That's what happened with us. I mean, we just didn't know our hope. Some of our hope was in them. Little anchors of hope, you know, goes into them. You don't even realize where hope is misplaced until trials come. I'm just convinced of that. You just don't know. You can think everything is fine. I don't put my hope in stuff. Lose it. The Lord takes it away. A fire burns it all. And then a person just disintegrates. No pun intended, but they just fall apart. Huh? Why? Their hope was there. They didn't know it was there. And children all of a sudden veer off. Or they say, you know, I really don't want this Jesus that I once said I professed, and I just don't want him. What? This can't be. And if you have hope there, like they're going to be a youth leader, they're going to be a pastor, missionary. I mean, we have great hopes for it. Yeah, there it is. You don't put your hope there. Your hope is only to be in God and his promises. Though there is a place for humble, not bitter sorrow, we are to turn from self or circumstantial focus and think more of God, his daily goodness, and his undeserved grace. Oh, it's easy to do this. And a hard lesson to really learn for to uproot those anchors and only put it in Christ. And you have the verse there. You can be heavy-hearted. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. I'm